Hare Krishna. So today we'll start Bhakti Vaibhav class on Srimad Bhagavatam 1.15, 11 to 17. And the theme we chose is Remembering Krishna. So here we see Arjuna is narrating various pastimes of remembering his how Lord has empowered him in various activities. So we'll recite the invocation verses.
नारायणं नमस्कृत्यां नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नश्च प्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी.
सो फॉर अ ब्रीफ समरी ऑफ सो फॉर वॉट एवर वी कवर्ड इन 15 चैप्टर Amritananda Prabhu covered this class where 1 to 10 verses. One second, I will start the new stream. Okay, 1 to 10 verses. Arjuna narrates incidents, how the Lord empowered him. Initially, it started off with Arjuna getting into the moment of feeling that, okay, actually he missed Krishna. From all the questions Yudhishthira Maharaj asked, and he started narrating all the pastimes where Krishna has empowered him, like for example the fighting, shooting the arrow for the eye of the fish to conquer Draupadi and many such incidents. And now in 11 to 17 there are more pastimes Arjuna is going to discuss. It was very very sweet pastimes. We can go into the Mahabharata and learn so many things from the lessons there. So the theme for this session is Remembering Krishna, 11 to 17. So section outline is actually each verse is one pastime. So some of the significant points of those verses we have added as an outline. So verse number 11 talks about the pastime of Durvasa Muni and Akshaya Patra. How Durvasa Muni visits the Pandavas and what happens there and how Krishna protects them. And the next verse, verse number 12, is how Arjuna is visiting heavenly planets in the same body, which is not common actually. So that special power is given. And verse number 13, even Arjuna actually gave shelter to demigods. Demigods had a crisis. They called upon Arjuna to come and fight with this Gandiva boat to help them. And verse number 14, where when Pandavas were living in King Virata palace kingdom, then Kauravas attacked them and then they took the cows. So then Arjuna fought the battle to regain all the cows. So that very nice pastime. And text number 15, verse number 15 is how Krishna actually personally he reduced all the Kauravas' duration of life. So as a super soul he could do that. So we could see how that happened. And then 16 is again protection against Kauravas, and 17 is the incident of how Krishna protected when the horses were thirsty in the battlefield and Arjuna was feeding them water. At that time, he was protected from being attacked by the Kauravas. So that's the verse number 17. So we'll recite verse number 11. We'll recite the Sanskrit together.
Yonu jugopa vanayetya duranti krishrat दुर्वाचशो हरिरचिताद् अयुक्ताग्रभूया साकन्नशिष्टाम् उपयुज्य यतस्त्रिलोकीम् तृप्ता नमस्त सलिले विनिमग्नसङ्गा.
ड्यूरिङ्ग् अवर् एक्सैल् दुर्वास मुनि हू ईट्स् वित् हिस् 10,000 डिसैपल्स् इन्ट्रीक्ड् वित् अवर् एनिमीस् टु पुट् अस् इन् डेञ्जरस् ट्रबल्. At that time, he, Lord Krishna, simply by accepting the remnants of food, saved us. By his accepting food thus, the assembly of munis, while bathing in the river, felt sumptuously fed. And all the three worlds were also satisfied. So this pastime many of us know, but it's very sweet. Prabhupada also in the purport describes this pastime. So we'll just briefly narrate that. So here first Prabhupada starts with speaking a brief history of Durvasa Muni. Durvasa Muni is a Brahmana mystic and he is also considered incarnation of Shiva. So because of that, like Shiva, he also has the ability, he is also Ashutosh. Like he can be easily pleased or he can be easily angered. So when even Draupadi was very small, Kunti. When Kunti was small, Durvasa Muni visited their palace at that time, and then Kunti was assisting in serving all the sages, or the guests who have come. So at that time, she served him so nicely that Durvasa Muni was very pleased, and he gave her the benediction. He gave her the mantra. He said that if you say this mantra, you can call upon any demigod. They will come and they will give whatever you want, and especially a child. So then, yeah, so we know that initially she called upon for sun god, and then Karna was born. So that pastime will come later also. And so that's how she pleased Durvasa Muni. And later on, now, actually when Pandavas were in Vanavas, 13 years of exile, so Yudhishthira Maharaj was concerned because many guests were visiting them. So they don't have, he wants to serve the guests properly. He didn't know how to provide for them. So then their sage advised them to worship sun god and get a benediction. So that's how they got this Akshaya Patra from sun god. Daumya Muni asked them to do that. So once they got the blessing of that Akshaya Patra, is that as long as Draupadi doesn't eat, it can produce innumerable amounts of prasadam, and they can serve as many people as possible. But if once the Draupadi eats, Akshaya Patra doesn't generate any more food. So then what happens? Kaurava Duryodhana knows this, and he is trying all kinds of tricks somehow to attack Pandavas and spoil them. So what he did is he serves Durvasa Muni very nicely, and then Durvasa Muni was very pleased with Duryodhana, and he asked, okay Duryodhana, what do you want, tell me. Then he says, okay, actually I don't want anything, but our cousins, they are in foster forest, I want you to give mercy to them, so can you please go and visit them also. Then he said, yeah sure, and he understands, Durvasa Muni understands what is his motive. And he said, yeah sure, I will visit. But Duryodhana said, please, only one catch is, you go after noon, after everybody ate prasadam, you go at that time. Then he said, okay, and then he goes there. So with his 10,000 disciples, he has 10,000 disciples, he goes there, and then immediately the Pandavas, they receive, Yudhishthira Maharaj gives him a seat, and then he just to get some time, Yudhishthira Maharaj says, okay, please go and have your noon rituals. Go and take bath and come back. By the time prasadam will be ready and you all can eat. So then they went. And here everybody is in anxiety. Draupadi was like literally crying actually. It's like, okay, what to do? He will become angry and we don't know what calamity is going to come upon us. And then she was intensely crying out for Krishna. Then immediately Krishna was in Dwaraka, but he immediately came and knocked at the door. Then Draupadi saw Krishna and she was very happy. Then Krishna immediately said, okay, I know you have some problem, but let's discuss that problem later. But first, give me something to eat. Then Draupadi even more started crying. Oh Krishna, I don't have any food to give you. Akshaya Patra, I already ate. I cannot give you anything. Then Krishna said, no, there should be something. Give me the vessel. I want to see. She already cleaned everything. Give me the vessel. Then he saw the vessel and then he found one vegetable piece. Then he saw it's there and then he ate. Because of Draupadi's devotion, Krishna was so satisfied with just that one vegetable piece. Because Krishna being satisfied, everybody became satisfied, including Durvasa Muni and all the sages who went for bathing. In the meantime, Yudhishthira Maharaj sent Bhima to call the Durvasa Muni and the sages back. So then seeing the Bhima, Durvasa Muni, everybody, they got scared. It's like, oh, if we go there, we don't eat anything. They're feeling full basically. Their stomach is completely full. If we go there and don't eat anything, Yudhishthira Maharaj will be upset. Okay, let's not go there. So they said, oh please, we'll come later. Sorry. And they'll go away. So that's how Krishna saves them from this calamity. So some of the lessons Prabhupada says in this purport are like, Krishna is Yogeshwara. Yogeshwara means supreme mystic. So he's supreme mystic. So even the small mystics like Durvasa Muni, they get satisfied easily. So that's the, so when we please the, it's said in Bhagavad Gita, right? When we water the root of the tree, all the leaves, branches, everything is satisfied. So like that. And another lesson Prabhupada gives is that if we offer food at the home to the Lord, then with that devotion if we offer, then even 10,000 guests come, we will be able to easily serve them. So the Prabhupada was telling that as a, especially householders, they should offer food to the Lord at home. And then Prabhupada gives very nice statement here. They says that devotees take difficulties as an opportunity to remember the Lord with rapt attention. It's a very nice statement, very powerful. So, and especially Rompad Maharaj is telling in his class, devotees remember Krishna with rapt attention in case of difficulties. So we can imagine, like, if we have difficulties and we feel like our faith is getting disturbed, or we feel we are actually going away, we should imagine, we should remember, we should analyze and figure out that, okay, actually I am yet to become a devotee. I'm yet to become a devotee to be qualified, so that in such difficulties I can actually remember Krishna more, rather than going away or doubting, okay, what is this process, what is this things. So it's a very nice instruction for all of us. And Rompad Maharaj says, actually this incident also shows Draupadi's attachment to the Lord. Like especially even in the Vastrabharana, that incident also, immediately Draupadi remembers Krishna intensely, and because of that intense calling, Krishna came and rescued her. In this incident also, Draupadi immediately remembers Krishna. Because of that, Krishna comes and helps. So Draupadi is very, very attached to the Lord. And this section from the purport, Prabhupada says, this incident proves that the Lord is the greatest mystic, and therefore he is known as Yogeshwara. Another instruction is that every householder must offer food to the Lord, and the result will be that everyone, even a company of guests numbering 10,000, will be satisfied because of Lord's being satisfied. That is the way of devotional service. So we'll go to the next verse.
Yate jasata bhagavan yudhishula panir Vishma pita sagiricho astramadhani jamme Anye pichaham maneva kalevarena Prapto mahendra bhavane mahadasanartam.
It was by his influence only that in a fight I was able to astonish the personality of God Lord Shiva and his wife, the daughter of Mount Himalaya. Thus he, Lord Shiva, became pleased with me and awarded me his own weapon. Other demigods also delivered their respective weapons to me. And in addition, I was able to reach the heavenly planets in this present body and was allowed a half elevated seat. So here there are two pastimes. One is, there was a fight between Lord Shiva and Arjuna, and in that fight, Lord Shiva becomes very pleased by the dexterity of Arjuna's fighting. He becomes very pleased and he awards him a weapon, which is the Pashupata Astra weapon. He awards to Arjuna. And after that, another incident is that then at the same incident, many demigods also give him so many weapons, including Agni giving a blessing to him to travel anywhere. Because of that, he is able to go to heavenly planets in the same body. And there, where Indra gave him the seat as much as half elevated seat as himself. So some of the very important points Prabhupada discusses here is demigods versus Supreme Lord. Some couple of points Prabhupada discusses the difference between their devotees. So Prabhupada said that devotees of demigods need not necessarily please Supreme Lord completely. And he gives example of Ravana. Ravana is a great devotee of Shiva. But actually he became opposed to Lord Ram, and because of that he got killed. But Prabhupada says that, but devotees of Supreme Lord are respectful for demigods. They get favor from demigods also. So it's like watering the root, right? It's like that. So that's what Prabhupada is saying, that Arjuna is so much devoted to Supreme Lord that he knows how to respect Lord Shiva also. Because of that, Lord Shiva became very pleased with him, and he awarded this weapon. And another difference Prabhupada gives is the benefits. So the benefits which the demigods give are temporary, and also they are perishable. But whereas the benefits the Supreme Lord gives are eternal. So that's the difference Prabhupada gives. We covered many of these incidents, right? In Bhagavad Gita, we have all these things covered. And then next incident, the Prabhupada is discussing about how Arjuna visits heaven, And some of the points Prabhupada says there is that, like, we have to do so many pious activities in order to be qualified to go to the heavenly planets, right? So, but Arjuna is so, because of the blessing from Agni, Lord Agni, and then also because of his association with Krishna, he was able to go to heavenly planets with the same body. So, even if you do so many austerities, the only possibility was to go after death actually. You have to take next body, then only you can go. But Arjuna got the benediction to go in the same body. And Prabhupada says that actually, like, right now many people are in mode of passion and ignorance, but heavenly planets and even higher than heavenly planets, it's mostly predominated by goodness. So unless one gets the quality of goodness, how can they go? So even this visits to moon and all those things, Prabhupada is again defeating. Unless we have qualification, we cannot go there. One section from the purport. The instances described by Arjuna during his friendly dealings with Lord Krishna are instructive for all who may be convinced by the lessons that one can achieve all favors simply by pleasing the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna, whereas the devotees or worshippers of the demigods may achieve only partial benefits, which are also perishable, just as the demigods themselves are. So here Prabhupada is telling we can achieve all favors by serving the Supreme Lord. So we should not have any doubt, okay, for this I'm going to go here, for this I'm going to go here, because we are so fortunate, we are given the supreme thing actually. We don't, without having to speculate or research everything, we are given the greatest thing, the topmost knowledge. All we need is the little bit of faith and follow sincerely, then the knowledge will be revealed. So verse number 13.
तत्रैवमे विहरतो दंशदण्डयुग्मां गाण्डीवलक्षणमारतिवधाय देवा सेन्द्राश्रिताय धनुभाविदमजामिदा तेनामद्यमुषिता पुरुषेण मुग्ना.
When I stayed for some days as a guest in the heavenly planets, all the heavenly demigods, including King Indradeva, took shelter of my arms, which were marked with the Gandiva bow, to kill the demon named Nivata Kavacha. O King, descendant of Ajamida, at the present moment I am bereft of the supreme personality of Godhead, by whose influence I was so powerful. So here another incident where when Arjuna went to the heavenly planets, there in King Indradeva, after giving the seed to the Arjuna, they also asked Arjuna to help them in fighting this demon called Nivata Kavacha. So then Arjuna used his Gandiva bow and had a nice fight there, and he helped the demigods. And now Arjuna is remembering, I'm missing that Supreme Lord by whose influence I was so powerful. So Arjuna was able to know where his strength is coming from. So very clearly, and he is giving credit to Krishna. So the section from the purport. The heavenly demigods are certainly more intelligent, powerful and beautiful, and yet they had to take help from Arjuna because of his Gandiva bow, which was empowered by the grace of Lord Krishna. The Lord is all powerful, and by his grace his pure devotee can be as powerful as he may desire, and there is no limit to it. And when the Lord withdraws his power from anyone, he is powerless by the will of the Lord. So here Prabhupada is telling that Lord can empower anyone. At the same time, if Lord desires so, he can even withdraw the power. So some very nice practical applications we could do, like from Prabhupada's own example, how in the Jaladuta travel, right, Prabhupada wrote in the diary, like, Krishna, you have given me the name Bhakti Vedanta, you only fulfill that purport. The import of that, I don't know what it means. And he also said, like, I'm going to this unknown place, all these people, they are completely malachas, right, into meat eating and intoxication, sense gratification. So how am I going to give this message? So you give me the power to speak, and you make me dance as you want, you make me dance. So that is the mood of a devotee. As Arjuna, Srila Prabhupada also showed us how one should be humble humble instrument of the Lord and try to be in. And if we hear Radhanath Maharaj lectures, he says that that is the greatest thing we can achieve. To be an instrument of the Lord, that is the greatest thing we can achieve. That's our goal actually. To be a humble instrument of the Lord. For that, we need to be so pure, right? And we need to be so completely know our position, basically humble. That we are not the doers. It's actually Lord is doing through us. And another application for us is to recognize Krishna's gifts. So even in our lives, to some extent or the other, we have some opulences. Either be it knowledge or be it some wealth or some beauty or some ability to talk or ability to impress. So many things, right? All these things are actually gifts from the Lord. So what is the right use of these gifts? The right use of these gifts is to use them in Krishna's service. So that's the only way we will be protected. Otherwise, we may think, okay, now suddenly let's say I got a big job, then I have a lot of money. If I get puffed up that, okay, I have so much money, I don't care so much about like really behaving properly, then these things will go away one day, right? So we should not be puffed up with the borrowed plumes. That's what Prabhupada says. So all these are gifts from Krishna, because the point is Krishna can take them away anytime. So where is our shelter at that time? If we take shelter of all these things, they will go away at one point, then what will be there? So we, from the beginning, respective of what we have, what we don't have, we should try to recognize these are all from Krishna and use them in His service. That's all. And that's how try to be humble always. And another thing is trying to be an instrument. That's the application for us also. So next verse, text number 14.
यद् बान्धवा कुरु कलाभिमनन्तवारम् एको रतेन तथरे अहमदीयसत्त्वम् प्रत्यावृतं बहुधनं च माया परेषां तेजास्पदं मणिमयं जगतं शिरोभ्या.
The military strength of the Kauravas was like an ocean in which there dwelt many invincible existences, and thus it was insurmountable. But because of his friendship, I, seated on the chariot, was able to cross over it. And only by his grace was I able to regain the cows and also collect by force many helmets of the kings, which were bedecked with jewels that were sources of all brilliance. So here again Arjuna is telling about two things. One is the Kauravas army was so powerful, like because all these stalwart fighters were there on that side, like Bhishma, Dronacharya, all these people, right? And Arjuna is saying they were insurmountable like an ocean. But I got the strength to cross over it by Krishna's mercy. And another incident Arjuna is telling about regaining the cows from King Virata. So we'll discuss both of them. So the theme for this is Krishna's grace, like how Krishna's grace helped him in both these incidents. So that's what Prabhupada tells in the purport, that actually the army of Kauravas was so powerful, it was as if like we are in the sea of ocean. How would we cross over it? Only by Krishna's mercy he was able to do it. And also Prabhupada said that actually Kauravas had many soldiers. They had to as a general, many of them had to take turns because everybody was getting killed. But Arjuna remained all through the war as the warrior on the Pandava side. So because of protection of Krishna. And the pastime of regaining King Virata's cows. So here Pandavas had to stay one year in Ajnatavasa, incognito. So that time they stayed in King Virata's palace, and each of them took one role. Like Bhima was like a cook, and Arjuna was teaching Uttara dance, music, like that. So everybody took different roles, and nobody knows they are Pandavas. So what happened is that the king's general, we don't know the name yet, I don't recollect the name. King's general gets very attracted to Draupadi because he also don't know it's Draupadi. He thinks it's a normal, ordinary citizen. But he becomes very attracted and he tries to approach her actually. He sends a messenger. Kichaka. Okay. So he sends a messenger as a message like, okay, Draupadi, what are you doing with these people? You come with me. Then she rejects him. And even once he even personally approaches, and then Draupadi fights with him and runs away. But still he doesn't detest. He again comes. Then once Draupadi becomes very distressed and he comes running to Bhima. Bhima becomes very angry and he says, okay, now I'm going to kill him. Then Draupadi says, no, it's not possible now, because if you kill now, everybody knows that you are a Bhima. So we cannot do now. So then they made a plan that Draupadi will go into some forest to pluck some like fruit, flowers or something. And then this general obviously will follow her. Then in that secluded place, Bhima goes and then he fights with this general Kichaka, and Mara Rompad Marat says he beats him into pulp completely and is finished. Then actually this news goes to Kauravas. They found out that somebody killed the minister, the Kichaka of this kingdom, King Virata. So then they had a suspicion only Bhima could do this. So that means Pandavas are staying in this kingdom. So now they wanted to expose them. So in order to do that, they all attacked the kingdom and stole the cows. So that way Pandavas will naturally try to fight, then they will be exposed. So then when King Virata was attacked like this, then he was very anxious. Okay, how do we protect? Then Arjuna says, don't worry, I'm going to go and fight. Then Arjuna says, okay, you give me your son. So your son will go and I will also go with him. We both will fight. Then son becomes, he's very timid. He is like, no, how will I fight alone with Kaurava army? Then he said, no, don't worry, you just come. So initially until the place, the son was the chariot, the person sitting in the chariot, and Arjuna was a charioteer. Once he goes to the place where he meets Kauravas, Arjuna says, oh, shift now, oh, you come here, I am going to fight with them. So then, but by the time Arjuna knows that Agnyatavasa is over actually. So they fought and they defeated Kauravas and they were still not exposed. So that's how they protected the King Virata's cows. So practical application again for us is giving credit. So here Arjuna doesn't hesitate in giving credit to Krishna that it's because of his grace that I am able to conquer Kauravas. And another example which Sundaran Prabhu always says is like a credit is like a hot potato. Like if somebody gives that for whatever small things we do, we should not keep it with us. Immediately we should give it away. So, and we have seen in Srila Prabhupada's personal example also, right? Like he says that his disciples are actually, he says that you are all sent by my Guru Maharaj to assist me in my mission. Like he never thought like, okay, you are my disciples, I am like teaching you to do all these things. Like that is his mood. He is so humble in giving credit to everyone. So one section from the purport. On the Kaurava side, there were many stalwart commanders like Bhishma, Drona, Kripa and Karna, and their military strength was as insurmountable as a great ocean. And yet it was due to Lord Krishna's grace that Arjuna alone, sitting on the chariot, could manage to vanquish them one after the another without difficulty. So text number 15.
Yo Bhishma Karna Guru Shalya Chamushkabhadra Rajanya Varya Ratamandala Mandirasu Agre charo mama vibhoratayuta panam Ayur manasi chakrisha sahoja achan.
It was he only who withdrew the duration of life from everyone and who, in the battlefield, withdrew the speculative power and strength of enthusiasm from the great military phalanx made by the Kauravas, headed by Bhishma, Karna, Drona and Shalya, etc. Their arrangement was expert and more than adequate, but he, Lord Sri Krishna, while going forward, did all this. So here Arjuna is saying that they were so powerful, but he being a super soul, he was able to diminish their power. And that's how he was able to help Arjuna conquer them. So here we see the theme which comes out in the purport is Lord's affection towards his devotee. So Prabhupada says, as a super soul, he gives knowledge, remembrance and forgetfulness, and he also can withdraw the speculative power and withdraw the strength. So like that, he was able to, Krishna, as he was moving in the battlefield, he was gradually reducing the life of the Kauravas. That's the point Prabhupada is telling. And another significant thing from the purport is that Lord's will is indefeatable. Like once the Lord decides that certain thing has to happen, it has to happen. So in the battle of Kurukshetra, the Lord's will was that the battle has to happen, Kauravas has to die, and Yudhishthira Maharaj has to be established. So nothing could stop that, and that's what had to happen. So many, and Lord made so many arrangements for that to happen, right? So similarly, we can also see, like for example, in our lives, we may have some questions or we may have certain plans of serving, but then Lord's will may be different. So we may try so many ways to kind of like somehow try to change Lord's will or something, but it doesn't work out. So at some point, we should come to surrender, to accept whatever is Lord's will for me, I'm going to surrender to that. So this point is about Lord's affection for his devotee as Arjuna. So many pastimes, right? How Lord protected Arjuna because of his affection. Like even later on verses, Arjuna says that the similar theme which he says in Bhagavad Gita, where Arjuna says, Lord, as a friend, I joke with you. And like I even told you, oh, how truthful you are. Like in a sarcastic way, oh Krishna, you're very truthful. Like that he joked. So then in that purport, Prabhupada says that actually Krishna, even though he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he was such an intimate friend that he treated these incidents as out of love, or as a friendship, out of affection. So he never took it seriously, not like an offense. So that's his Lord's affection, so much affection. And so many times he helped, right? Arjuna took some vows, like at the end of the day, until sunset, before sunset, I am going to kill this person. Then Krishna says, why do you take these promises? Like I have to now help you to fulfill them. So it's very sweet. And I think I missed one point here. Okay. So here, two incidents I wanted to share is about the incident of Srila Prabhupada's exchange with Malati Mataji. At that time, I don't know the place, I think Mayapur, I think they were serving, right? And Malati Mataji was cooking whole day, like going and getting vegetables and cooking for him. So intense service it was, like it was difficult for her being in India, fighting with the vegetable people to get the lowest price possible and come all the way here and cook for Prabhupada. It was such a, and she had a small child at that time, such an intense service. And Prabhupada once called his godbrothers for serving prasadam for them, and she cooked the meal and she came to serve. At that time, Prabhupada told, this girl can slice her throat for me. I don't know the exact verbatim, but the meaning is this girl can give her life for me and I will do the same for her. So that is the affection as a representative of the Lord. Even spiritual master shows that affection to the surrendered disciples. So she was so surrendered that Prabhupada was able to say that, and also say that I also have to give my life to her. So another recent incident, I think Rasika Mataji, they are all hearing, but I will share because they are not here. So we went to San Jose to visit Guru Maharaj. So actually what happened earlier day when Maharaj was coming from New York, he somehow sprained his back. It was very bad actually, we didn't even know it was so bad. It was so bad that when he went to Giriraj Maharaj's home, when he was trying to get down of the car, he was not even able to step a little bit. Then immediately Kunti Mataji, she saw and such a bad state. Then she called Rasika Mataji and told, maybe you should cancel this trip because Maharaj can't even walk actually. He has to take rest, then only he will recover. Then immediately the whole Friday, next day Saturday morning, Maharaj had to fly. Whole Friday they were discussing, okay, and saying, Maharaj, you don't have to come. We'll understand, disciples will understand, it's better for you to take rest more than coming here, so you don't come. So much they were arguing from this side to try to convince Maharaj. Said, no, I will come. And one statement he told, and that's all. He told, Rasika, you are giving your life for me, I want to give my life for you. So then Maharaj said, it's difficult for me to, because it's a 1 hour flight. It's difficult to go in the car and walk, go through security, and then, so basically if he sits, it's okay. But if he sits, stands, it's more intense. So Maharaj said, I'm going to drive. So from Santa Barbara to San Jose, Maharaj drove. And because his servant doesn't have the license, he doesn't have permit to drive. So Maharaj personally drove 5 hours in that condition, and he came all the way here. When he came, and when we saw, actually we didn't know how bad it is. So when he started getting down, we were so horrified to see actually. But then we realized this is his, actually his love for them. And somehow, because we were so fortunate to be there, we got that mercy as well. So we can see how spiritual master, as a representative of Krishna, also takes the chance to reciprocate with the surrendered disciples with his love and affection. So all we have to do is, we also want these exchanges. So all we have to do is, we have to rise up to that standard of surrender. Then we can also experience that. So section from the purport. The other party was equipped with all military strength, supported by big generals like Bhishma, Drona, Shalya, and it would have been physically impossible for Arjuna to win the battle had the Lord not helped them by every kind of tactic. Such tactics are generally followed by every statesman, even in modern warfare, but they are all done materially by powerful espionages, military tactics and diplomatic maneuvers. But because Arjuna was the Lord's affectionate devotee, the Lord did all this himself without personal anxiety for Arjuna. That is the way of devotional service to the Lord. So Krishna is Prabhupada is telling that Krishna personally took care of all this maneuvers, diplomacy, tactics, so that Arjuna had to not worry anything. So text number 16. Great generals like Bhishma, Drona, Karna, Bhurishrava, Shushruma, Salya, Jayadratha and Bahlika all directed their invisible weapons against me. But by his, Lord Krishna's grace, they could not even touch a hair on my head. Similarly, Prahlad Maharaj, the supreme devotee of Lord Narasimhadeva, was unaffected by the weapons the demons used against him. So here Arjuna is quoting stalwart fighters in Kaurava army who were attacking him, and Krishna protected against them. And also he was telling, it's as much as how Lord Narasimhadev protected Prahlad Maharaj. So the point there is that actually the weapons which were attacking Arjuna were as powerful, and he was in such a dangerous position as much as Prahlad Maharaj. And Prabhupada quotes in the first section of the purport how Narasimhadev protected when Hiranyakashipu, his own father, was envious towards his son and put him through so many situations. And Narasimhadev has had to come to protect him. And rest of the section of the purport, Srila Prabhupada is going to talk briefly about all these personalities. So we'll just cover about few significant personalities. So we talked about Prahlad Maharaj, and so the great generals, like few of the great generals are mentioned there, are Karna, right? So Karna we discussed earlier. So when Kunti got that benediction, she called the sun god. And then sun god said, okay, I cannot go now. I have to fulfill the promise, whatever. Then she said, okay, I am so young. I am not even married. How can I have a child? Then he said, don't worry. You will remain virgin, and also the son will be born immediately. So then Karna is born with Kavacha Kundala, with golden armlets and earrings. Then, but then Kunti couldn't, she left him in the water. And then Adiratha and Radha, they took Karna and they started raising him. So then afterwards there was an incident of Draupadi Swayamvara. Then Karna was also present, and there were only two people who could fight that fish. then only Karna and Arjuna. So then Karna was stepped forward to take the challenge. Then Draupadi immediately said, I want somebody who is greater than or equal to Kshatriya to take this challenge. Then everybody stopped Karna. Then from then on, Karna took great vengeance against Draupadi and all the Pandavas. Then that's why he was trying all incidents where he could attack Pandavas. So actually Rompad Maharaj says the Karna's personality is very, very mysterious. He has both good side as well as bad side. So he is very, very charitable. Like for example, Indradev comes and then he gives all his the Kavacha Kundala back to him, and even whoever Brahmana comes, he doesn't hesitate to give in charity. So he has the charitable side, but at the same time he had this, because of his enmity towards Pandavas, all his good qualities had to diminish. That's the point Maharaj says. Like if we have something against the devotees, then whatever so-called good qualities we have, they are no use. So that is about Karna. And another personality we can talk briefly is about Jayadratha. So Jayadratha is also another person who developed a lot of attraction towards Draupadi. So actually he was on the way to get married. His wife is, I don't remember the name. Dushala. Yeah, Dushala. Yeah. So Dushala, he was going to get married to his wife. On the way he saw Draupadi and he wanted to like approach her. So there were many attempts he made, and one incident Draupadi even knocked him over and he had to fall down, but still he pulled Draupadi into the chariot. Then Daumya Muni stopped him. It's like, what are you doing? And he informed Pandavas, they attacked him and they killed him. Actually they didn't kill him, they fought with him and they removed all his hair, and their 5 hairs were left completely insulted, and they told him to accept himself as a servant to Yudhishthira Maharaj, greatly insulted. So then he went and did lot of tapasya in order to attack back. So he got some powers, and then finally in the Abhimanyu, he was part in killing Abhimanyu. So then Arjuna at that time took a vow that he is going to kill Jayadratha by end of the day. So then Krishna led him through that, and then at that time Jayadratha wanted to run away from the war. Kaurava said, no, we cannot do, we are going to protect you. So, and another thing is Jayadratha had a benediction that whoever makes his head fall on floor, he is the one who dies. So then Krishna reminded Arjuna of this. Then he told, you should send a special arrow when you cut his head, so that arrow will take Jayadratha's head into somewhere else. So then Arjuna made it fall on his father's, Jayadratha's father's lap. So when his father saw this thing, he got horrified. What is this head coming? He just brushed him away, aside. Then immediately father passed away. So that's how Krishna conquered both. So these things, like Krishna helped like so many things, giving clues and so many times, and that's how he protected Arjuna and Pandavas.
So question, what was Karna's attitude towards Krishna?
Karna's attitude towards Krishna, I'm not sure. I haven't heard anything. Yeah. We'll ask other devotees to share about this. So Prahlad Maharaj we discussed, great generals. Then some incident from the purport, section from the purport. He was thrown in a fire in boiling oil from the top of a hill underneath the legs of an elephant, and he was administered poison. At last, the father himself took up a chopper to kill his son, and thus Narasimhadeva appeared and killed the heinous father in the presence of the son. Thus, no one can kill the devotee of the Lord. Similarly, Arjuna was also saved by the Lord, although all the dangerous weapons were employed by his great opponents like Bhishma. So, last verse.
सौत्ये वृता कुमारीनाश्वरो मे यत्पादपद्ममाय भजन्ति भाव्या मां शान्तवाहमरयोरथिनो भूमिष्ठम् नाप्राहरं यदनुवानिरस्तचित्ता.
It was by his mercy only that my enemies neglected to kill me then when I descended from my chariot to get water for my thirsty horses. And it was due to my lack of esteem for the Lord that I dared engage him as my chariot driver. For he is worshipped and offered services by the best men to attain salvation. So here Arjuna is remembering the pastime where his horses were thirsty, and he had to rest them, and he had to give them water. So what he did is he shooted a bow, arrow into the earth, and then it's like a bore well, so water sprung and then horses drank the water. So Prabhupada was telling at that time, like, that was a science at that time, like, just by arrow he could get water. But now we use the same technique, but we had to drill, and nowadays not many places could even give waters like that. And also says that Lord is all worshipable, like he says that impersonalists worship the impersonal form and devotees worship the personality of Godhead, and normal people treat him as a historic personality. So, but then the Lord is all worshipable. And the purpose of Lord's descent is mainly, we have this Paritranaya Sadhunam, Vinashayaga Chaturushkutam, right? But main purpose is to actually perform pastimes to attract conditioned souls back home. So that's how even in these exchanges between Lord and the devotee, who seemingly are very humanly and very, like, what is it, not like in awe and reverence, somebody may think he is not the Lord. But Prabhupada is making a point, intelligent men know that he is a supreme Lord, but because of his affection he is behaving like this, so they don't take him for granted, or they don't think of him as an ordinary personality. So that is the Lord's magnanimity. He has that exchanges. And the incident of thirsty horses. So this section from the purport: while playing in such a perfect transcendental relation, the devotee forgets by the internal potency of the Lord that his friend or son is the supreme personality of Godhead, although sometimes the devotee is bewildered by the acts of the Lord. After the departure of the Lord, Arjuna was conscious of his great friend. But there was no mistake on the part of Arjuna, nor any ill estimation of the Lord. Intelligent men are attracted by the transcendental acting of the Lord with a pure unalloyed devotee like Arjuna. So they don't take it like a cheap way, but they get attracted because of these exchanges. So summary, each of the words, there is some significant essence. So first is Yogeshwara Krishna, how... By pleasing Krishna, Dhruvasa Muni and all his sages were pleased, and we can achieve all the favors by serving the Lord when compared to demigods. And then how we can become an instrument, or try to become an instrument, how Arjuna is feeling like that, and we can try to give credit for whatever we have received, and Lord's affection. And similarly, we discussed about how spiritual master represents the Lord and shows affection to his surrendered disciples, and then Lord's protection. We discussed how Lord protected him from the thirsty horses and so many incidents. So, references, Sir Om Pad Maharaj's lecture and Burijan Prabhu's overview class and Srila Prabhupada's purport. Stay Srila Prabhupada. So.